We open in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me. I pray that your word would go forth and that you would use me. Release things in your name. Amen. As we continue to look at Christ's journey toward the cross, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This morning, Pastor spoke of killing sin. In this verse, we see that same concept, but is referred to as defying self. In Ellicott's commentary for English readers, he states, "Our common thoughts of self-denial, often thought of as the denial to ourselves of some pleasure or profit, fall far short of the meaning of the Greek. We are to deny our whole selves, all our natural motives and impulses, so far as they come in conflict with the claims of Christ." The ultimate example of this is Christ as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26, verse 39, Jesus prays, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt." A short time later, he prayed again in verse 42, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done." We see in verse 44 that he prayed even a third time, using the same words. Jesus knew suffering and agony were coming, but he desired in his fully human nature to avoid the suffering if that was possible. But without his suffering, God's will could not be accomplished. So what does it take to deny self, as stated in Matthew? Five areas stood out to me as I read about and studied this phrase. The first is realization. We need to see ourselves as sinners in need of the redemption that Jesus provided on the cross. This morning, Pastor Joel referred to Isaiah and his vision of the glory of God. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, a sinner, and I live among a people of unclean lips, also sinners. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah saw himself in his sinful state in contrast to the perfect glory of God. And he knew there was nothing he could do in his own power to justify himself. But the seraphim flew to him with a burning coal, and he touched the mouth of Isaiah and declared him cleansed of his sin. Christ did that for us on the cross. His shed blood did for us what the burning coal did for Isaiah in this vision, cleansed our sin. The last part of Matthew 24, 16, 24 says, "Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The second area is action, taking up your cross. We must make the conscious decision daily to put the will of Christ at the forefront of all we do and say, and to lay aside our desires that conflict with his will. Matthew Poole's commentary explains the phrase, "taking up his cross," as this: willfully and cheerfully bear those trials and afflictions with the providence of God brings him under. Gill's exposition of the entire Bible explains this portion of verse 24 in a similar manner. Cheerfully receive and patiently bear with every affliction and evil, however shameful or painful it may be, which is appointed for him, and he is called unto, which is his peculiar cross, as every Christian has his own, to which he should quietly submit and carry with an entire resignation to the will of God, in imitation of his Lord. Last Sunday, Pastor spoke of Jesus resolutely facing the cross. Once he submitted to God's will, knowing that his cross, the literal cross, was his to bear, all his focus and attention went to accomplishing that end. The third area is focus. After Jesus prayed in the garden, he accepted the fact that God's will and his fleshly desire to avoid suffering were at odds, and set his sight firmly on a cross, denying his own wishes and resolutely focusing on God's desires. Romans 8, verses 6 and 7 reads, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so." The first part of that verse could be read, "For the mind focused on the self is death. That is spiritual and eternal death. But the mind focused on a spirit is eternal life. The fourth area is reliance. Realization, action, and focus cannot take place without the help of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." If we attempt to deny ourselves and take up our cross within our own strength, we will fail. In his commentary Through the Bible, J. Vernon McGee uses the illustration of a bully. A little boy was coming home from school, was being beaten up by a big bully. He was on the bottom, and a big bully was pounding him very heavily. The little boy looked up from his defeated position on the bottom and saw his big brother coming. The big brother took care of the bully while the little fellow crawled up on a stump and rubbed his bruises. We as believers have the Holy Spirit to deal with the flesh, that big bully. In our own strength, we cannot subdue or deny our flesh any more than that little boy could push that bully off and gain the upper hand. Once we realized who we are in Christ, and once we take action and focus on that action with reliance on the Holy Spirit for strength and wisdom to maintain that focus, we must have faith. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, denying self, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." As believers, we each must make the conscious decision to deny or kill the desires that are contrary to God's will. Then, with the strength of the Holy Spirit, we are to carry the burdens God places on us with dignity, knowing that the eternal result will be life eternal and peace.